Welcome back to NBA Talk from Downtown. You're with Micah Hand and Joshua Saunders for our second podcast.
Our discussion this episode starts with Dwight Howard. What's best for him? What's best for the Magic? The NBA awards as they currently stand, and our All-Star game. Who's most deserving to start this year?
The Dwight Howard saga continues to evolve with little confirmation about his likely destination. Micah, what's the best suitor for Dwight Howard?
I think there's two suited destinations that really, really fit Dwight Howard. Firstly, New Jersey. A chance to play with an all-star point guard in Deron Williams. Chance to make a new start in Brooklyn. And start to really build a franchise that's struggled since the Carter, Kidd, Jefferson days. I think Dwight makes Deron better. I think Deron makes Dwight better. And I think that's what is really exciting about that combination. The second destination that I think would really suit Dwight Howard is probably the Los Angeles Lakers. I think the opportunity to play with Kobe Bryant is definitely got to be attractive for Dwight, but also the chance to immediately contend for a championship. Any team that has Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard is obviously going to contend for a championship, pretty much regardless of any of the other pieces on the team. So I think that's really, really critical in the mind of Dwight Howard, the fact that he'll be able to contend for that championship in LA. So the two destinations, New Jersey and LA, I think they're the two most promising for Dwight.
Yeah, I agree with you with Los Angeles Lakers and the New Jersey Nets. Obviously, an all-star point guard is going to get a big man more touches and more points and more looks than he's obviously going to get playing with someone like Jameer Nelson, who's a shooter. Playing with Kobe, it gives him an opportunity to defer to someone, which I deep down think that Dwight really wants to do. And he wants to be able to just work on the block by himself and be a defensive monster that he is normally. Somewhere that you didn't mention, though, is the other side of LA, Los Angeles Clippers, have been rumored to be one of Dwight's preferred destinations as well. Are you giving up Blake Griffin for Dwight Howard?
I think if you're the Clippers, you don't. You've got such a good thing happening at the moment with Chris Paul, with Blake Griffin, with Chauncey Billups, Karen Butler, DeAndre Jordan. You've got so many good pieces. I think they just need the time to gel. You don't want Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan in the same team. And in order for you to get Dwight Howard from the Magic, you're going to have to include Blake Griffin. And I think losing Blake Griffin is not the right step for the Clippers organization. I think you got to let, at least for a year, these guys play together and see how they go. And I think trading for Dwight and giving up Blake Griffin is not the right move for them this time.
On to the next topic of discussion. This draft class was expected to be one of the weakest of all time, but we've had some surprises this year. Micah, what do we have as our top 10 on our rookie rankings thus far?
Sitting at number 10 is Norris Cole, and I know that his production's dropped over the last few games, and his star start has sort of diminished a little bit, but I still think the way he's playing deserves a top 10 ranking, and we've got him at number 10. His output is still reasonable for a rookie. He's getting 9 points per game. Keep in mind, though, he's playing with LeBron James, he's playing with Chris Bosh, he's playing with Dwayne Wade, and he's coming off the bench. So I think, keeping in mind those factors, I think he's doing good enough to get a top 10 spot.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. A lot of people have said, you know what, Norris Cole, he's only scoring 9 points per game. I could name lots of people and rookies that are scoring that much, but the fact that he's playing with the big three, who are scoring maniacs, and he's still pulling off the scoring amount that he's pulling off and having the confidence to take those shots in front of the Miami Heat crowd, who expect LeBron, Wade, and Bosch to take those shots, that stands out to me. He's not a Rookie of the Year candidate, but he is still up there with the rookies, I can say.
Yeah, I agree. Number 9, we've got Markieff Morris, who's surprisingly fit really well in Phoenix. He's hitting the three-ball at a consistent rate. He's helping out on the boards. And he's filling that sort of Channing Frye role and almost outdoing Channing Frye in his own role at the moment. So I think Markieff Morris, number 9 in our rookie rankings, and I think he really deserves that spot.
Yeah, number 9 is definitely fair for Markieff Morris. Like how you said that you were surprised that he was going to fit in. Everybody fits in with Steve Nash, Micah. Everybody fits in. I'm just going to say that right now. All right, then we'll go on to our next one.
Number 8, we've got Brandon Knight, who as of late has struggled a little bit in Detroit. He's taken over that starting role now. His scoring numbers are alright, but he's not shooting the ball at a fantastic clip. He's distributing the ball reasonably well, but obviously turning the ball over a little bit too much. He's a Calipari product. He's going to come good. We know that. We've learned that from John Calipari products. At the moment, sitting at 8. Potential to be in the future a top 5, but I think at the moment number 8's a good spot for him, considering as well Detroit is struggling.
Yeah, Detroit is definitely struggling. He's averaging at least 13 points a game. So, yeah, number 8 is definitely a fair pick for him. I reckon he can be higher. He has the ability to be higher, just not at the moment.
Number 7, we've got John Lua, who's now taken over that starting role in Milwaukee and come along in leaps and bounds. I think he's scored double figures in his last 4 out of 5 games, which is fantastic for Bucks fans and gives them something to be a little bit excited about, which obviously since Brandon Jennings last year hasn't really been able to happen too much over there in Milwaukee. So great for Bucks fans, great exciting young player, and hopefully he continues to develop to help out guys like Bogut and Jennings.
Yeah, definitely. Milwaukee isn't exactly the type of team that you go to see all the exciting highlights with Stephen Jackson, Brandon Jennings, and Andrew Bogut, but this is definitely something to get excited for over there in Milwaukee, so good for them.
Yeah, great position for John Lua at number 7. Mm. Number 6 is a little bit of a surprise. He was drafted by Indiana and then quickly traded on to the San Antonio Spurs, and that's Kawhi Leonard. He started to fill in for that little Bruce Bowen role that has been left open since Bowen retired, and that's that defensive stopper in the lineup. The most surprising thing about Leonard, though, is he's actually shooting and scoring the ball with a reasonable clip. And it's for this reason that we've seen him blossom as a starter in the absence of Ginobili. And I think this is the reason that he's sitting number 6 on our rookie rankings. And I don't think anyone would have really expected him to be this high.
Yeah, I saw him in the game versus the Heat. And he came off the bench with that spark of energy that a veteran team like the Spurs really need at this point in the season. Definitely without Ginobili, who's out with a broken hand at the moment. So I think it's a great fit for the Spurs, who always need that jolt of energy after they've had Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili out on the floor.
Number 5, Iman Shumpert, who has been a big surprise. I think he was always had that little unknown about him, but he's come on leaps and bounds. We've got him at number 5 in our rankings, and he's currently the starting point guard for the New York Knicks. His only thing that's holding him back at the moment is his shot selection. Taking 22, 23 shots in a game as a rookie is not on, especially when you've got guys like Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony. They should be shooting 40 shots before he should be shooting 20, and I think that's the only thing that is letting him down. In his games where he's taken 10 to 12, he's scored 8. He's scored 7 of those baskets, and I think that's what really makes him effective. But when he shoots volume, like the 22 shots that he took the other day, like the 23 shots that he's taken before, that's when I think he struggles. But having said that, I think he definitely deserves our top 5, to be in our top 5 rankings, and in that number 5th seed.
Talking about top 5, he's also top 5 in the league in steals, which I don't think anybody really expected. We all know he was good at stripping the ball, but not at the rate that he's been doing it. And also in his decision making, I was watching the Phoenix Suns versus New York Knicks. He's sitting on about 20 points that night. And here's the thing that separates him from the pros is that he's got 5 seconds left on the clock and he tries to take the ball up the court by himself and tries to score over the Phoenix Suns, leaning from the three-point line, and he ends up airballing it. You've got Carmelo Anthony on your team. Are you kidding me? You don't try and take that shot with 5 seconds left on the clock. And when he can improve on his decision-making, that's when we can start to put him in the top 3 of our rookies.
Which is exactly why we've got Kemba Walker at number 4. I think the difference between Iman Shumpert and Kemba Walker is the maturity that Kemba Walker's shown since becoming a pro. I think his assists and his scoring and his rebounding in combined has just been totally mature. Everything about his game is mature, and that's why I really like Kemba Walker. He's a winner at heart. He showed that at UConn. He's playing for a struggling organization like Charlotte, but his all-round game and his all-round maturity is really, really been impressive, and I think that's why he definitely guarantees that 4th spot.
Yeah, definitely. Kemba Walker does have a similar game to Iman Shumpert, but his decision-making is what makes him better. At the moment, he's starting next to DJ Augustine, giving them quite a small backcourt, but it's been working quite well for them. They're both having good assist totals as well, which I didn't really expect, having 2-point guards dominating both guard positions at the same time. But yeah, Kemba Walker has been very good. He's always in there for Rookie of the Year, but I don't think he's there quite yet.
Speaking of having 2-point guards starting, we've seen Ricky Rubio and Luke Ridnour share the starting roles together. I think Rubio's probably going to take that by the end of the season by himself and they'll start another 2. But I think what he's doing now is absolutely fantastic. Ricky Rubio averaging nearly double figures, averaging nearly in both points and assists. I think it's absolutely fantastic. He's a top three candidate at the moment. Probably, next to Blake Griffin, the most exciting player in the league at the moment. And any time that a rookie can get 14, 15 assists in one game, you got to, it's definitely something to be excited
about. Yeah, definitely.
So, Ricky Rubio on the top three, got to love it.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of the few players in the league, besides Steve Nash and Jason Kidd sometimes, who can actually excite you from passing the ball and not from what happens from passing the ball. His bounce passes are silky smooth. I love Ricky Rubio. Love what he's brought to the T-Wolves. And I think, yeah, he will be a starting player by the end of the year.
Number two is probably the surprise packet out of all of the rookies, besides Marn Shumpert, is Marshawn Brooks. His scoring ability that he's shown in New Jersey is absolutely phenomenal. He's shooting the ball at a reasonable clip as well. He's doing it from outside and inside, and he's really taken a load off Deron Williams, who struggled this year. So Marshawn Brooks sitting on number two, fantastic scorer, exciting to watch, explosive, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Marshawn Brooks, if he can pass Kyrie Irving in scoring, he will be a candidate for Rookie of the Year, and he will be a strong one. The problem with him at the moment is that Kyrie Irving's doing what he's doing, except better, and averaging it better. So Marshawn Brooks is definitely taking that load off of Deron Williams, but it's kind of sad when the person who's really helping an all-star point guard is the rookie who's 22nd pick overall. That's kind of a little bit sad for the New Jersey Nets. All right, then, moving on.
Yeah, number one, we've got Kyrie Irving, and I think most people could have predicted this. I mean, he was the number one pick overall in the league. He's doing it with the ball, scoring, putting it in the basket, passing it. He's even getting a couple of rebounds and a couple of steals per game. He's playing for a struggling Cavs team, but that hasn't seemed to dampen his spirits. He's just stood up and he's really taken control of that franchise and really shown that he can be a leader. And I think that leadership combined with his stats is enough to get him the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I reckon Kyrie Irving is definitely a top candidate for Rookie of the Year simply because he's doing so much that the Cavs haven't been able to do since LeBron left, filling that void almost, except you can't really fill a void that LeBron left, but he's doing a good job of living up to that Rookie of the Year expectations that he had going with the first pick, and I reckon he can win Rookie of the Year if he keeps up what he's doing at the moment. He's scoring it at a good clip. It's over 45%, which people thought he was almost a Brandon Jennings who would score high points, low clip, at a low percentage. But yeah, he's been quite a good pick for number one overall. So yeah. All right, then we'll breeze through the next two awards. Micah, Coach of the Year.
George Karl. George what Karl. He's done with the Nuggets, absolutely fantastic. He's lost J.R. Smith. He's lost Kenyon Martin. He's lost Wilson Chandler. That amount of scoring is insane. Keep in mind, they lost Carmelo Anthony before the end of last season as well. So the scoring that they've lost is absolutely phenomenal. Yet they're still on a winning record. They're still in the playoffs. Absolutely fantastic, George Karl. I think he deserves a lot of credit. Coach of the Year in the future, I reckon right on the money.
Yeah, definitely. I thought what was funny is that after they lost Carmelo Anthony, they went better. But then after they lose J.R. Smith and then you lose Wilson Chandler, they're still picking up the slack that they've left. Could you imagine their record if they had have had J.R. Smith, Wilson Chandler and Kenyon Martin? Because Kenyon Martin was coming through for them at the end of the year. So it's just, it's incredible what they could do. Also, someone you've got to put in the picture, Nate McMillan, who at the moment is coaching the Portland Trailblazers. He's always in the conversation. Doug Collins as well. You got Eric Spoelstra, who's always in there as well, simply because he's got a chance to have the best record in the NBA. And another surprising one I don't think anybody saw after Jerry Sloan left, Tyrone Korver.
Yeah, well, Tyrone Korver's doing a great job in Utah. They've been one of the surprise teams in the league, so if they continue the way they do, there's no reason why Tyrone Korver can't be in Coach of the Year talks at the end of the year.
Definitely. And so what's your take on the most improved player then?
I think there's only two guys that can really win most improved this year. Ryan Anderson starting out in Orlando, shooting the ball fantastically well from the perimeter. He's also getting about 17 points per game. So his Dwight Howard's almost playing second fiddle to him this year. And I think that alone earns him big votes in most improved. Secondly, Marcin Gortat out in Phoenix. He needed to get away from Orlando. He's not a backup center. I think he's a starting center. I think this year he's proving that. He's almost getting 20 and 10 a game, which is fantastic for anyone. And yep, writing down for most improved. I think he's a solid pick.
Yeah, definitely. The funny thing is, just think I'd point it out, is that Ryan Anderson and Martin Gortat are both byproducts and were included in the Phoenix Suns Orlando Magic trade, because Ryan Anderson got traded from Phoenix Suns to Magic and Gortat got traded to Phoenix, and they both had better years. So you can obviously see that trade worked out for both sides. But yeah, Ryan Anderson, I think he's going to have the edge over Gortat simply because that he's one of the reasons that Dwight Howard might even have a slither of a chance to stay in Orlando.
Wait, let me just pose a question for you. Marcin Gortat starting at centre for Orlando Magic, Ryan Anderson starting at the four, trade Dwight Howard for a three and a two. I reckon that's almost better off than what they are currently with Dwight starting at centre. Just posing a question, just throwing it out there.
That's true. Well, I don't think the Orlando Magic knew what they had with Marcin Gortat. If they did, I don't think they would have ever traded him. And that's quite possible that would have happened. They didn't get back what I think they should have for Marcin Gortat, but they didn't know it. But that is a very interesting hypothesis you've put up there, Marco. Second to last, we have the Defensive Player of the Year Award.
Defensive Player of the Year Award needs to be renamed the Dwight Howard Award. Nobody is going to win it while Dwight Howard is in the league. His defensive rebounding and his shot blocking is just second to no one. Rename it the Dwight Howard Award.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. The only guy I can really put up there to compete with Dwight Howard would have to be DeAndre Jordan.
No competition. Next.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Next up, the topic that you've probably all been waiting for, the most exciting one this year, MVP. Who's going to win it, Micah?
Three statements. Kevin Durant is currently the league MVP. Second, LeBron James is the best player in the world. Third, Kobe Bryant is insane. And I'll explain. LeBron James is the best player in the world. If he focused purely on scoring, he'd be the best scorer in the world. If he focused purely on passing, the best passer. Purely on rebounding, best rebounder. Purely on defense, best defender. He is that good, he can be the best in the world at anything he wants to be. Kobe Bryant is insane. He's not the league MVP. He is the league leading scorer. But the amount of shots that he's taking, the amount of success that his team is having, doesn't quite weigh up to being the most valuable player. Thirdly, Kevin Durant is currently the league MVP. He's getting it done on the offensive end. He's rebounding the ball well. He's distributing the ball well. He's actually played some all right defense as well. And he's leading his team. And that's what the most valuable player of the league does. Gets his team a good record, leads the team, and fills in every single stat. And that's what Kevin Durant is doing this season, hands down.
All right, then. Well, this is where I argue with you. You said LeBron James is the best player in the world. He can be the best at everything he wants to be. At the moment, he's better than Kevin Durant in everything besides having the best record. And that's simply because they've had a little bit of troubles and a little bit of slip-ups, but they're not far behind. They're 10-4. That's not that much for the Heat to catch up with. He's currently second in the league in scoring, and do you really think Kobe Bryant is going to be ahead of LeBron James when it's all said and done when it comes to scoring? I don't think so. LeBron James, he can dish the rock better than Kevin Durant. He can rebound better than Kevin Durant. He can defend better than Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant has a better wingspan than him and is taller. Not many players in the league can change a game on both ends of the floor like LeBron James can on both sides of the floor, and Kevin Durant can't do that. Now, did we ever give Tracy McGrady an MVP because he can score? He didn't always have the best record, I get that, and that's where Kevin Durant is better, but just because Kevin Durant can score and can fill it up in clutch moments like Tracy McGrady can, we never gave him the MVP. And so when you look at that, you got to remember that he aren't far behind from getting the best record.
Josh, let me stop you there. How many quarters are there in a game of basketball? Four. Kevin Durant consistently plays four quarters of basketball. He leads his team. He gets wins. And that's why he's got the best record in the league. And that's why he's the MVP.
I think this is basically, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this. I think LeBron James has stepped it up in the fourth quarter.
Kevin Durant for MVP.
Shut up, Mark. LeBron James for MVP right here. Everybody get on this. All right, next topic. We'll just finish it there because I don't think we're ever going to agree. By the way, check us out on Twitter, NBA TFD, or on our Facebook page. Leave us a note and tell us what you think the MVP award should be going to. Next up, we have the All-Star game.
All right, well, we've both written down who we think are the deserved starters for the All-Star game. I'll read out my East team. You can follow up with your East team, and then we'll have a little bit of discussion. Starting at center, Howard. I don't think there's any arguments about Dwight Howard is the starting center for the East All-Star team.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got my starting power forward is Chris Bosh. You've got...
Oh, well, I've got Carmelo Anthony. I get it. Chris Bosh is having a better year this year. He's 20 points a game, 8 rebounds. But it's Carmelo freaking Anthony. I mean, are you kidding me? He's 5th in the league in scoring. He is jacking up a lot of bad shots, but I think he's just still trying to get in rhythm and get rid of those lockout love handles that he put on over the lockout. I think Kendrick Perkins may have just dropped it on Carmelo Anthony and said, go, run out, do what you can. So, I still think he deserves a part because he's a bigger star than Chris Bosh, and I think that's why we call it the All-Star game and not the All-NBA team running out on the floor and playing it. Carmelo Anthony is a bigger star.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think Carmelo is just as deserving as Chris Bosh, but I thought I'd shake it up and throw in the big three. LeBron James starting at small forward. We don't need to talk about that any further. Dwayne Wade starting at shooting guard. Don't need to talk about that any further.
Just
and Derrick Rose is definitely the starting point guard.
You can make a case for Deron Williams, but I feel that Derrick Rose's popularity has exceeded Deron Williams by far. He's become what's widely known as the second best or first point guard in the league. So, you know, starting point guard, I can live with that.
All right. Bit of discussion for the West All-Stars. You've got Al Jefferson starting at center. Al Jefferson from Utah. Can't disagree with that too much, although I do have Andrew Bynum. Jefferson's in career best form. He's really leading Utah out there, and he's got a decent record with the Jazz.
Yeah, I can't disagree with Bynum either. It's really hard between these two. A lot of people will just say Bynum because he's a Laker. But you got to remember, Al Jefferson is still having a very good year. He's up there in blocks as well. He's improved his defense. He's got the best footwork in the NBA. Period. I'm just going to put it like that. No one else can beat him in low post footwork. I just think that Bynum is a bigger star at the moment than Jefferson, and that's what's going to hurt Jefferson at the moment.
Yeah, I think Bynum's market is makes him that all-star. LA, I mean, you switch the two around, you bring Al Jefferson up in the same mold as Bynum, in the same scenario and sort of area as Bynum, and I think Jefferson is takes the cake.
Yeah.
But Bynum is playing in LA, and that obviously is a lot bigger market than Utah, so I think Bynum takes the cake on that one. Blake Griffin, I don't think many can argue with him. He's the most exciting player in the league at the moment. His stats also prove that he should be an All-Star. He's starting at the 4 for me, and you. We've both got Durant starting at the 3.
Just a quick note there for people who may agree, disagree just quickly. Kevin Love, I believe, is the best power forward in the NBA at the moment. But he's not an all-star. He's not someone who generates that type of electricity and power that Griffin generates at the moment. So, yeah, I can see you putting Love in there. But if you're talking about all-stars, it's Blake Griffin all the way.
Definitely agree. Both got Kevin Durant sitting at a 3. I don't think there's going to be any arguments with that one.
No.
Kobe Bryant starting at the 2. He's the leading scorer in the league at the moment.
Oh, what about Rajah Bell? You could start him at the 2. I'm just kidding. Kobe Bryant all the way as well.
And Chris Paul starting at the 1. I mean, you can make a case for Westbrook, but he's just not up to Paul's standard at the moment. So that completes our All-Star fives for both the East and West. And that also brings us to the end of our second podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
Check us out on Twitter, NBATFD. Or you can check out our Facebook page, which is NBA Talk from Downtown. Look us up, and we'll probably be on YouTube as well sometime. Thanks for listening. We're out.